RNZ Pacific News, Nisa Yandra, na Yandangu ko Maramati Pole. The suspension of Samoa's Human Rights Protection Party leader, Tuilaepe Sailele Malielengaoe, could lead the party seeking his replacement. A formal complaint by Deputy Prime Minister Tuala Iosefo Bonifacio was lodged against Tuilaepe and the party secretary, Leala Ilipule Rimone Ayafi, claiming that brought Parliament into disrepute when they were convicted by the Supreme Court on contempt of court charges. The recommendation of suspension for an indefinite term was presented to Samoa's Parliament on Tuesday morning. Samoa's Prime Minister, Fiamme Naomi Mataafa, told Parliament a seed of double standards had been planted by the HRPP over many years. Speaking with Pacific Waves, political journalist Tuiasau Welese Petaia says the suspension has left Samoa's opposition party without a leader.
The opposition will be without a leader. I don't know where that would lead the party in terms of whether they will wait around and see how long the suspension is or whether they will decide to find a new leader.
The Solomon Islands opposition leader, Matthew Wale, has again raised concerns at the secrecy surrounding links with Beijing. The Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi is visiting the Solomons today and is expected to sign a host of new agreements, including the security pact that sparked anger in the United States, Australia and New Zealand. Mr. Wale says only a few top aides know what's in the agreements. He says there's no justification for the secrecy. Mr. Wale says Solomon Islands is a democratic country owned by the people and they're entitled to know what's being transacted in their name. A veteran Kiribati journalist says there's no doubt a security pact between Beijing and Tarawa is imminent after confirmation that a high-level Chinese government delegation will visit tomorrow. Speaking to RNZ Pacific from Tarawa, Rimon says the signing of a security agreement between Solomon Islands and China is just a preview of what is about to happen in his own country. But Mr. Rimon says a deal with Kiribati has more significance for China, as Beijing has already demonstrated its willingness to develop Canton Island, which has strategic military potential.
And I think China is pursuing that. I think our government is quite reluctant on something military-wise, based on the narrative that the government has been saying throughout the years. But I have no doubt this is the number one thing on China's agenda. And how our government will respond to that I have no idea of that.
All 19 children and two teachers killed by a gunman at a Texas school yesterday were shot dead in the same classroom. They'd been knocked in there by the 18-year-old gunman, who was killed by police. Before going to the school, authorities say the gunman shot his grandmother, who alerted officers. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says Uvalde has been shaken to its core.
Families are broken apart. Hearts are forever shattered. All Texans are grieving with the people of Uvalde, and people are rightfully angry about what has happened.
Ukraine's foreign minister Dmytro Kuleba says Russia is trying to blackmail the international community by saying it will unblock Black Sea ports in return for a relaxation of sanctions. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Andrei Rudenko reportedly says Moscow is ready to provide a humanitarian corridor for vessels carrying food to leave Ukraine if some sanctions on Russia are lifted. Ukraine's Black Sea ports have been blocked since Russia's invasion began in February. More than 20 million tonnes of grain is stuck in Ukrainian silos. Small-scale eruptions are expected following the Hunga Tonga Hunga Ha'apai volcanic eruption and tsunami that devastated Tonga in January. 4 months on, new scientific evidence is helping to paint a clearer picture of how widespread damage is to Tonga and the chances of another eruption. University of Auckland volcanologist Shane Cronin says while there won't be another large-scale event anytime soon, there will be follow-ups.
you know, after such a fundamental change and an enormous eruption, we wouldn't expect there to be ongoing big events, but we would expect there to be sort of follow-up small-scale eruptions, because there's always a bit of magma left behind and there's always a little bit of residual heat.
To New Zealand, the spate of gun violence in Auckland has sparked calls for stronger action to protect communities. Two more houses were fired at last night in the suburbs of Massey and Melons Bay. That makes 13 attacks since Sunday, seven of them on Tuesday night alone in Ōtara, Papatoetoe, Flatbush, Pakapakura, Te Atatū, Henderson and Mount Albert. The co-leader of the new Conservative Party, South Auckland criminal barrister Whaleaoto Ted Johnson, says the government needs to show it does not tolerate this behaviour.
And the gangs can't treat the public like this. The government needs to step in and hit them so hard that the gangs back off. Treat them like a terrorist organisation and get the anti-terrorism in. Let them know that if guns start appearing on the street, the resources of the state will be used to go in and clean it up.
Artificial intelligence cameras will be installed on New Zealand's commercial fishing boats from August. The plan is that by the end of 2024, up to 300 inshore vessels will have been fitted with the cameras which can detect net setting or hauling. The Fisheries Minister, David Parker, says the technology can be used to monitor fish dumping.
This is a new way of policing it, which then enables us to change some of the fishing rules in a way that make it easier also for the fishers to comply with the rules, because they're a bit less complex. So it works together as a package to get better outcomes.
The first cameras will be installed on trawl and set net boats off the North Island's west coast. The US pharmaceutical giant Pfizer says it will sell all its current and future patented drugs at non-profit prices to the world's poorest countries. The company's chief executive, Albert Bowler, says 45 countries will benefit. The BBC's Samira Hussain says the move is in part a response to pressure from shareholders.
They did face a lot of criticism during the pandemic because they were profiting from COVID vaccines that they were selling to those more disadvantaged nations. We're just seeing a lot more shareholders wanting to see the company that they are a part of do more good work around the world. This is something that you're seeing at a lot of different companies, whether it be the way that they are forcing their companies to embrace better labor rules, or in this case, helping out those that are in need.
Indians are getting fatter, according to a new government survey, and experts are warning a health emergency could be imminent if the growing obesity problem is not tackled. Once considered a problem of the West, obesity has been spreading in low and middle-income countries in recent years. Despite long struggling with issues of mass malnourishment, India has broken into the top five countries for obesity rates in the past few years. In sports, the Mystics will be scrambling to field a team for the weekend's match against the Pulse, who are threatening to overtake them at the top of the ANZ Premiership ladder. They'll be without star shooter Grace Neweke for a fourth straight game, while two players have also tested positive for COVID. The defending champions have suffered three straight losses since Neweke was injured. Coach Helene Wilson will call on development squad players.
The question is what is the quality product that we're going to be putting out on court for our fans? We hope to put a good quality product out there, but I don't know how many players that will be because it's too early to tell.
The Mystics hope Neweke will be fit for a potential elimination final in a fortnight. And that's RNZ Pacific News and Sport. You can listen to and read more online at rnzi.com.